All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Traders Derivatives 2023 Conference, Futures and Options Trading. So we're going to do 30 presentations over 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Thursday, all about futures and options trading. So the Synergy Trader series is brought to you by TradeOutLoud.com and TimingResearch.com. And of course, all of these presentations are for educational purposes only. Trading is not suitable for all people. Please consult a financial advisor and only trade with money you can afford to lose. All sessions are being recorded individually, and those will be available to review anytime after the event on TimingResearch.com, as well as the Timing Research YouTube and podcast networks. So you can find all of them there. First guest for today is Elena Nicole, and so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to her.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everybody. So I'm Elena. I'm the co-founder of Investing Bay, and I love to trade. I'm a full-time trader, and I also love to break this stuff down for people and make it digestible, because trading can be confusing, especially in the beginning. But one of the things I noticed with our students is that I have a lot of analyzers. Does anybody in here consider yourself like an overanalyzer? And so what would happen is like they would go in to trade and they would get stuck like analyzing the options chain and not really know where to go. And so we actually like created this section, this whole session, to help them pick out their options and make that process a lot smoother. Because it really should just take like a few seconds, especially if you are like a day trader, scalper, which is like my wheelhouse. So today, what we're going to get into is we're going to talk about the options chain, the different pieces of options. There's a lot of moving parts. And then we're also going to use the chart to make it like practical so you can kind of see where all these pieces kind of fit in. So let's get into it. And of course, if you have questions, feel free to ask them. I've got the chat up so I can see if anybody's confused or needs any clarification. So one of the first things that you want to develop when you are looking to enter a trade is a plan. It's super important to trade with a plan, because if you don't have a plan up front, it's really hard to say whether or not the trade went as planned. So definitely make sure you have an entry plan. With your entry plan, you're looking for, one, you want to get to know your stock, right? So we have an indicator called ATR, average true range. This is essentially on average how many points your stock moves a day in either direction. Typically you get like a 14-day average, but you can tweak that. But basically you want to know what your stock can do before you pick out an option for it. So, if you're looking at something like Tesla or SPY, you know, Nvidia, right? Those things are movers. They get active and they can move a lot in a short time period. If you look at something like Bank of America, Snapchat, Starbucks, like those things move like pancake syrup, like molasses, right? They're really slow. Even like Ford, Pfizer, they move a lot slower. So it's important to know your stock in the sense that, if you're going to go, you know, in the money or out of the money, like, it doesn't make sense to go out of the money if a stock is really, really slow and it's going to take it a long time to make a move like that. So that's what I mean by know your stock, know how far it can go in a time frame. The next thing you want to look for is potential strike prices. As a scalper, if anyone doesn't know what scalping is, essentially we're jumping in and out of trades like within minutes. So we're like buying heavy volume. And then we're selling quickly for profit. And so hopefully for profit, right? So when I say potential strike price, I mean plan for both sides of the market. So plan for calls, plan for puts, and then you have a plan for whatever the market gives you. One of the biggest losses in the market that I ever took was because I didn't have a plan for both sides. So I had an Nvidia setup back when they had the acquisition of SmartBrain. I didn't check the headlines, so I didn't see the acquisition. I just saw this crazy rising wedge on the chart, and I went in with a bias, right? I was like, I'm going to play puts no matter what. I have my setup. So when the market opened that day, I think we had like two or three big red candles, And then we bounce clean off the moving average, the 50 moving average, the 50 simple moving average. And it took off. It took off and ran about 30 points. And that was one of the biggest losses I ever took. And that was because I didn't plan for both sides. I wasn't objective. I had a strong bias and I wasn't willing to budge. So I always like to tell my students to plan. So the next thing is the budget, the 10% rule. We're really big on not over leveraging, not having too much capital in a trade at once. So we have a 10% rule, right? No more than 10% of your account should be in a trade at one time. And so depending on your account size, 10% can be a lot. So you don't have to have a full 10%. You can use 5%, 3%, whatever you're comfortable with. You just don't want to over leverage. Your technical entry conditions. So we teach a trading system essentially. And unless our conditions are met, we don't enter a trade. We sit on our hands. And so we just look for high probability setups. And then the last thing is like alerts. We can alert some of this stuff and I'll show you guys how to do that too. But you can alert some of these things so you can, live your life and look at other charts and things like that and still catch things when they're happening in the market. So the next thing that you want to look for is your exit plan. This is super important. I actually think exits are more important than entries. I don't know if that's like an unpopular opinion, but I think anyone can have like the wildest entry in the world. But if you're good at cutting losses and getting out, I think that makes, for a better experience in the market. So always have an exit plan. You can have a profit target, like a percentage goal. You can have a price target usually that'll be like a technical, maybe a resistance or support level, something like that, maybe a psychological price level. But having a price target can help you lock in profits too. And then also your exit conditions. So like, when am I getting out? Can I identify weakness? Can I identify when, volume's drying up? Things like that. So you want to be hip to that. And we can talk about that too. And then the last piece is your loss plan. So definitely want to have a stop loss. So the type of stop is going to depend on the spread, the bid and ask spread, and also your trading style. So if you're someone who's trading short term, you want to typically have a tighter stop loss than someone who's holding for months, right? Because they're going to ride out fluctuations. But as a short term trader, our job is not to ride out fluctuation, right? Our job is to catch momentum and go because of time decay, right? These are options. We can't ride out reverse price action because their options are not designed for that for the short term. Just make sure you predefine your risk before you get into a trade. That's huge. So here's your cheat sheet for the options chain. If you are buying a call, like basically you want the price to go up. If you're buying a put, you want the price to come down, right? If you're selling your puts, you want the price to stay the same or go up. On the sell side, just remember on the sell side, they like time decay, right? On the buy side, we don't like time decay. So everything in the market has an inverse for the most part. So just think of everything in terms of opposites, right? If you buy a put, you want the price to go down. If you sell a put, you want the price to go up. And I think that's all I'll say on this because I don't want to confuse, but it's just a whole nother pickle. All right. So there's two order types. You have limit and market. Again, depending on what you're trading, that's how you kind of lean into which order type, right? So for your limit order, this lets you buy or sell a security at a set price. The price is guaranteed, but execution is not guaranteed. So your order may or may not go through. On the flip side, you have your market order, which allows you to buy or sell at the first available market price, but you don't get a guarantee, right? You're guaranteed to execute, but you're not guaranteed your price. So when we talk about like your bid and ask spread, the bid, those are your buyers, the ask, those are your sellers. And so if those numbers are close together, it's a good thing. I'll show you guys an example. We'll talk about this in a second. It'll make sense. So here's your options chain, right? This is what it looks like. And so this is your bid and ask spread, right? There's your bid and ask. So again, if these numbers are close together, like 150, 151, that's great. If they're further apart, it's not so great, right? You want to lean towards the limit order if you have a wider spread. That way you don't get executed at a crazy price. Has anyone ever had like a market order execute at a wild price? I know I have. I was like, what in the world? I just slapped a market order and I think it was maybe Tesla. And it was on the move. So like I executed at a really crazy price. And then my order ended up being like in the negative as soon as the position opened. So just keep your eyes on those. So let's talk about the different pieces of the option. This right here, this number, and this is a screenshot from Robinhood. I actually am not the biggest fan of Robinhood, but I like how they lay this stuff out, especially for newbies. If you get it, then, you know, graduate to another platform. But for here, this is your strike price. I like to think of the strike as like a price target. What it actually is an option, allows you to control 100 shares of a stock at your strike price. So essentially, if I were to purchase this, I would be able to control 100 shares of Apple at, you know, 160 a share or 155 a share. You also have the right to do something called exercise. So if you want to exercise your contract, then you'd be purchasing 100 shares of Apple at $155 a share, right? But for our purposes, I just use it as a price target. So the next number that I want y'all to look at is this number in the circle. That's your premium. So options allow us to control these shares at a premium price. And so it's your price per share. We're controlling 100 shares. So 393 times 100 is $393. So your entry cost for this particular position, 393. If you notice, as your strike prices go further down, these premiums get a little spicier. This is basically referred to as in the money, right? The further you go down, the deeper in the money you go, or the more expensive the premiums get. And there are benefits to going in the money. There are benefits to going deep in the money. I call the deep in the money plays, I call those Pelosi plays, because if you guys know Nancy Pelosi, she likes to buy really deep in the money. And on the flip side, you have out of the money. So up here, the strike prices above the share prices, these are your out of the money. And you notice these get a little cheaper. And there are benefits to going out of the money as well. So when you get further out of the money, some of that starts to benefit the sell side, but you can still make money here. And I'm going to talk to you all about the different pieces of that. Also up here, expiration dates. I call these the shot clock because when you buy an option, you don't get to keep it forever, right? It has to go back to the market. Hopefully you make money, but our goal, especially as scalpers and day traders, our goal is to essentially play hot potato, right? We want to make the money, toss it back to the market really quick. We don't want to give our profits back. And a lot of times, especially in this market now, you know, profits are few and far between when we're chopping around all day. So calls, and let me back up. Calls are what we look for when we're bullish, right? When we want the price to increase. So on the flip side, we have puts, right? Everything has an opposite. So on the flip side, puts are what we want when we want the price to come down. We still have a strike price. We still have a premium price. But notice over here, here's your share price at the time. As the strikes go lower, the premiums get cheaper. So this is going to be your out of the money, right? It's just like calls, but it's flipped on its head. Over here, these are your in the money. So the further up you go, the deeper in the money, and the more expensive the premium, right? Just like the calls, we're just flipping the chain on its head. The last thing I'll add here is the maximum profit. So puts do have a max profit. A stock can only go to zero. And so that max profit is your break even times 100. That's one difference between calls and puts, because calls do not have a maximum profit. So I'm going to pause here and get into this chart because I want to kind of tie in some of the stuff we've already talked about, and then we'll come back to this. So I did not mean to open the screener. All right. So let's look at NVIDIA. I want to talk to you all about like strike prices and all that good stuff. So On the daily chart, as you can see, NVIDIA has been absolutely ripping. She's still moving above this trend line for the time being. And just for anyone who's not familiar, there's a huge gap over here. So I've got an alert for this gap whenever we get to it. But for now, we do have a wedge too. It's just not ready to break that trend line, which is fine. So what I want to do here is we're going to fib out NVIDIA and we're going to talk through like the strike price situation, right? So on the daily chart from here, basically one of the first things you want to determine as a trader is like what kind of trade am I looking for, right? Am I looking for like a long-term trade? Am I looking for something short-term? You really want to figure out, you know, what kind of trend can I capture in what time frame? So a lot of things come into that as well. Like, what's my budget, right? If you're starting off with like, you know, a $500 account, then NVIDIA, for one, probably would not be the best thing to trade because it's expensive. But also, the longer you buy out, you know, the more expensive that gets. So you have to pay for more time. So that being said, if I'm looking at NVIDIA right here, I would probably be like, you know, hey, this thing right for the time being is still bullish, right? It's still actually bullish, even though this candle's a little weak. We're up today and we're still trading above this trend line. So what I would look for is this. I'm going to go ahead and fib it out and then I'll talk y'all through it. We'll do like a short-term situation here. So these are daily candles. We're just going to fib from the low 440. Let's do 440. And then we'll grab this high of 480. And I'm going to flip my fib here. So if y'all notice across the bottom here, this is the ATR, right? So this tells me on average, NVIDIA moves 18 points a day in either direction, right? It's not straight up and down, like it's any direction, but this is a really high ATR. So from here, let's just do, this is your top-down analysis, right? So on the four-hour chart, there we are coming up off the 50, right? The MACD is rolling over. So that's starting to look a little more bullish. RSI is on the way up. So from here, now we can start looking at these price levels, right? And then if you notice, look in the parentheses. Is anyone not familiar with the Fibonacci before I keep going? I get super into the charts and like kind of forget that people are listening to me. If you don't understand the Fib, I'm happy to break it down. But if you guys are good, I'll keep going. Okay, cool. Okay, perfect. So from here, right, the cool thing about the Fib is we get these price levels in these parentheses. So if you're somebody who struggles with, you know, I don't know where to go for my strike price, the Fib can actually help you keep it, you know, make it make sense. So, you know, if I see NVIDIA, the next level up here is this golden ratio. If I see like this 465 level, you know, I'm not going to be like, let's go to 500. No, like here's the steps, right? Here's where NVIDIA is headed. If we continue to the upside, right? We also have levels to the downside. If I want to do something more short-term, right? Because we did that on the daily chart. Let's say, I don't know, let's say we want to do something just for today, right? Then we can go grab the high and low of NVIDIA for today. We got a, this is a Harami candle. It means pregnant, but basically this is a reversal candle on the 15th. And here, now I can see on NVIDIA for the shorter time frame, the next level up, if we continue, well, if we break this high, it'd be this 464, right? These levels are a lot tighter because this is a shorter range. So when we talk about like in the money versus out of the money, make sure you understand what trend you're trying to capture. You know, what time frame are you charting on? And then also, if you see a pattern or something like a candlestick pattern, a technical setup, just pay attention to the time frame it's on so your strike prices make sense for that. And if you are looking for a bigger move, make sure you buy the time to accommodate for that. I see people all the time that are like, you know, looking at these crazy huge long-term trends and they're buying weeklies. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you get lucky, but those are not designed to be held. So just keep that in mind. And so that being said, we'll get back into this and keep it going with the Greeks. All right. So the first one is Delta. Delta is like your dollar amount. And so basically and this is all pertaining to that premium on your options. So if the underlying asset, and this is from Apple, this is a screenshot from Apple, but if the underlying asset increases by $1, this delta amount gets added onto your premium. So here it's 77 cents, but this is times 100. So this is $77 added to your premium if the underlying stock increases by $1. And so if your premium, if your stock increases by $1, what happens to your option, right? It goes deeper in the money, which is a good thing. And for calls, right? That's a good thing. Puts will have a negative delta. You're not losing money. Your stock is just moving down, and that's okay. Also, it's going from 0 to 1, the measurement. And so the closer your delta is to 1, the deeper in the money you are. So if we're looking at this delta of 77, we can tell that it's in the money. It's a little deeper in the money, just because that's a really high delta. And so the further out of the money you go, you have a lower delta, but you also have a lower premium, right? There's a trade-off there. So the next one, I didn't know this had animations. So the next one is theta. Theta is really easy to remember. So you have delta, dollar, theta, T for time. I think of theta as rent, right? You have to pay rent to hold on to your options. The longer you hold, the higher the rent goes up. I have a rule of thumb, like halfway through, if you're buying time, I try to exit in half the time. So if I'm buying out 6 months, I try to wrap it up in 3. If I'm going out 2 weeks, I try to wrap it up in 1. So the reason is theta gets a little crazy around halftime. Okay. So keep that in mind. I'll actually show you like a visual representation of theta, thetaing. So this is the options profit calculator. It's wildly inaccurate, but I like the way it depicts the premiums. So we're just going to look at calls. We can do like Tesla, because I know Tesla has high theta. But essentially what theta is your time decay, right? So time decay is not our friend. Let's do Tesla. We'll do August 11th. I'm just going to buy a random premium here. We'll do 270s on the call side. So this is a $1,000 premium on Tesla. We're going to calculate it. And this is the time decay, right? This is what time decay does to your premium. So essentially, we need Tesla to moonshot consistently to keep us in profit. Otherwise, we're going to get eaten alive on time decay, right? And that's not a good place to be. So let's say we hold this for a week and Tesla, you know, doesn't do much. We're still in the red unless we continue to trend up or down. If we're looking at puts, we have to move. That's one thing that I've been trying to stress to my students. We've been in a really low volatility environment for a while. The market's been really choppy and we have these spurts of momentum, but it's been choppy for the most part. And as options traders, if you're not buying time, you've got to be in like for the momentum. Like we can't sit and hold sideways. And this is why. If you're just holding it sideways and the price isn't going anywhere, you're literally just paying time decay. So keep that in mind. As options traders, you need direction. Let's look at another stock that has crazy theta. There's SPX. And I know that personally, SPX is insane. This is just for 2 days out. Let's look at this. This is an $850 premium. And look at this. Oh, wait, this is still Tesla. Come on. It doesn't want to load for us. There we go. So yeah. This thing's still got to be moving. A lot of these things have to be moving. Okay, let's get back into this. So now that we understand theta, just keep that in mind. So the further out of the money you go, your theta tends to get a little higher. And I won't say higher, but your delta gets lower out of the money and your theta can get higher. So when you go too far out of the money, if your theta essentially is higher than your delta, you can actually end up losing money faster than you're making it back. And so one of my rules is like, I like to make sure that my delta is higher than my theta. That's a huge thing for me. So, I think that's everything on theta. That's your time decay, T for time. And this right here is $34. So if you're holding this position overnight, you're paying $34. And this will, like I said, continue to go higher. So next is your gamma. Think of gamma as the gas for the car, right? So gamma is the rate of change of your delta. So I call these my trifecta, right? Delta, gamma, and theta. Those are like the three amigos. So basically gamma, if the underlying asset, in this case, we're talking about Apple, but if Apple increases by $1, then our delta increases by our gamma amount, right? So if Apple goes up $1, our delta is 77 cents for now, but that gamma will get compounded onto it. And thus we'll be deeper in the money with like an 81-ish delta, right? So now we're making $81 every time Apple goes up. The cool thing about gamma is that it increases with theta. So essentially, if you have a high theta, right, gamma can make your delta go crazy. And so a lot of people are like, you know, sometimes, not, I won't even say sometimes, a lot of times I trade short-term expiration, 0 days, and people ask me, you know, how do you do it? And I'm like, this is it. Like, I have really high theta. I catch momentum and I'm in and out in just a few minutes, right? I'm not holding all day. I'm definitely not holding all day on the SPX, but this is the trifecta here. So anybody that trades short term, this is actually what you're doing. You're manipulating these Greeks. So Vega, V for volatility. That's really easy to remember. If you understand that, not understand, but volatility, essentially it's like a balloon, right? So you have your premiums, you have the volatility, which is like the demand, right? The demand of a stock increases, volatility increases, and your premium increases like a balloon, right? It's like an inflatable. And so if the volatility of the underlying stock increases by 1%, then your premium will increase by the Vega amount, right? Which this is $4. So if you think back to like earnings around earnings time, or look at GameStop, right? You had GameStop premiums that were like $6,000. That's because of volatility. So if you understand the balloon, right, inflates, then what else does a balloon do, right? It deflates. So after the volatility is gone, the premium comes back to its normal price. It's called the IV crush. Right? So you get an IV crush after earnings, after the Fed, all that fun stuff. What goes up must come down, right? So if you're buying contracts that have high volatility, you definitely don't want to be there long, right? You want to be in and out before that volatility comes back. But if you're someone who's like short-term scalping, trading, you can take advantage of those high volatility situations for sure. And last but not least is Rho. I don't have a cute thing for that, but Rho is essentially your option sensitivity to interest rates. A lot of these, like this is less than a penny, right? So it's not a huge deal. I think the highest Rho I've ever seen was on SPX, but most stocks have a really, really low Rho. You don't have to worry about that. Just for, you know, I need to make up a little jingle for that. So when you're analyzing your options chain, these are the only things you really want to pay attention to for the short term, right? So your bid and ask. Here's your bid and ask, right? This is a tight spread, $93, $95. I can live with that. It's a $2 difference. Sometimes you'll come in here and this will be a $500 difference. I'm not so okay with that, right? That's a huge difference. And so everyone has their own risk tolerance. So whatever you're okay with, that's fine by me, right? That's totally fine. That's your business. But I know for me, I like my spreads really, really close together. Open interest, boom. How many people are holding this position? Really, you just want to look for other people, right? You don't want to be the only person. I've seen options chains where this was like 5 or 0. I think of open interest as like a party. So how many people are actively holding this position? If you show up to a party and you're the only one there, that's a little creepy, right? If you show up and there's 30, 40,000 people there, that's a different story. So just keep that in mind. Also, your volume. Is this heavily traded, right? We need liquidity because for options, we need to be able to get in and out of our positions with our capital, right? If you've got a wide spread, you might be able to get in and out, but you may or may not be able to get out with all your money. So we want to have liquidity. So volume is super necessary. One thing that helps with that is to trade stocks that have high volume, because typically that translates into the options having high volume. And it may not be every option on the chain, but you should be able to see where it's concentrated, like where people are holding. And I'll show you guys that too. We'll go. I have like all these little sites I'd like to use. We were looking at Apple, I believe. This is bar chart. So over here, I go into options prices, and now you can see all the strike prices. You can see the volumes. You can see the open interest. So you can see where people are concentrated, right? So whenever you have a trade idea, this is not a bad idea to come and make sure that other people are there. And you can see it in your brokerage too, right? Most brokerages will show you the open interest and volume as well. Also, this is cool too, right? You can see the put and call volume, the ratio. You can also see the open interest. There's been times, especially back when I used to swing trade, where I would be like super bullish on something and then I'd come over here and it'd be like put heavy. So I'd want to make sure that I'm on the right side. Now, one thing I will say is that, you know, the market is driven by people. People are highly irrational. So just because, you know, there's a lot of people on one side of the market doesn't mean they're right. You know, there's power in numbers and everybody can be wrong. What is it like over 90% of traders are wrong and they fail. So I don't want this to be like, you know, if it doesn't say what you think it should say, I don't want you to question yourself, especially if you're confident in your abilities. But I see a lot of herd mentality in the trading world. So just keep that in mind. If you're thinking the way everyone else is thinking, you probably want to adjust your thinking. That sounds crazy, but it's true. A lot of people, sorry, y'all, I'm making myself a note. Okay, where were we? Okay, back to this. All right, so delta and theta, right? So delta, this is going to tell you essentially how much money you're going to make on the dollar every time your stock moves up, the high ATR. So if your stock has a high ATR like NVIDIA, then you can actually get away with going a little out of the money, right? Because NVIDIA has the power to move. I believe the ATR was 18. If you look at something like Ford, I believe Ford has an ATR less than one. So if your stock isn't even moving 1 point a day, does it make sense then to go, you know, five or six strikes out of the money? Maybe in the long term, but not in the near term, right? So just keep that in mind. For theta, anytime I'm holding something overnight, I like my delta to be at least a 0.3 or higher. And that just keeps me from having a higher theta than the delta. For the short term, we do something called compound delta, and we're going to talk about that. So in the short, and I'll get into that in a second. The last thing you want to check is volatility. Again, high volatility is not a bad thing, but just be aware, like know what you're getting yourself into. If that IV is high, just know that it's high, right? Know that the premium could get crushed if the volatility comes down, so on and so forth. So for example, Apple, I used to trade Apple a lot. I know the IV tends to rock between, I'd say 30 to 35%, right? So when I open up the brokerage and I see that Apple's IV is 50%, I know that something's up, right? Because Apple's volatility is not normally that high. And the premium is probably going to be higher as a result of that. So if you have stocks that you like, keep your eyes on their IV, and then you'll kind of know when they're a little higher than normal, and you'll know you're overpaying for that premium. Okay. This is a piece that I added into this just because, like, I know a lot of people watch unusual options activity, and I think it's really important to understand, like, what you're looking at. So, long story short, unusual options happens when there's like higher than average volume in a specific trading contract or options contract, right? So basically it's like somebody knows something. Like I hear all the conspiracies and they're like, somebody knows something's going to happen, but that's really what it is, right? Somebody knows something and they've taken a larger than normal position. So when you're reading unusual options activity, it's first you want to be aware, right? Maybe you get a hit on a scanner, somebody hits you up and tells you about it, whatever. You want to research and see like what are some potential catalysts. Then you go to build out your trading plan. But the biggest thing here is you want to know how to read that, right? So if a huge order comes in, for example, and the calls, you want to see what they pay for the position, right? So if the calls are coming in towards the bid, they're actually bearish, right? So maybe you see like a huge block of calls come in, but they're coming in on, you know, the bid side. They're actually bearish calls. So we don't want to be bullish, right? That's not what they're saying. They're saying they think the price is going to come down. Calls at the ask, that's bullish, right? Boom. And then you have puts at the bid, that's bullish. And then you have puts at the ask, that's bearish. So just keep that in mind. I've seen a lot of people just throw out, you know, oh, there was unusual options, let's just buy, buy, buy. But you've got to know how to interpret that information. It's not always what it seems at first glance. So just keep that in mind. And let's get into in the money versus out of the money. So for your in the money, and this again, we're back to Apple. One thing I want to point out on this Apple chain, look at this IV. You guys see the IV, how it's a little higher. So the deeper in the money you go, that volatility creeps up. And the cool thing is it keeps the premium nice and fluffy for us, right? When we're down in the money like that, when we're deep in the money, we want a high premium, right? We have a high premium and our IV is high as a result. So down in the deeper in the money, you have a higher delta, you have a lower theta, the premiums are more expensive, and the max delta is one, right? So you can essentially make $100 every time your stock goes up a dollar. One thing you'll notice is these spreads are a little wider, right? This is $25. This one's what, 40, 50? So these spreads are a little further apart, but they're not totally out of the question. But yeah, when you go deep in the money, then you have the ability to ride out some of the market fluctuations, right? Look at this delta and theta, right? This is $10 to hold overnight, and your delta is almost 100, right? So this is beautiful. Delta's or theta is $6, your delta is 97. That's a great trade-off. This margin is driving me crazy. But out of the money, has benefits too, right? I love to be out of the money. That's where I thrive. So when you're out of the money, you have a lower premium, right? Lower entry cost. This is ideal for buying multiple contracts. If you go out of the money and buy one contract, you're probably going to feel sick, right? You're going to be sad because you're not going to see that crazy move. But it's fine because you have to start somewhere. And I don't recommend anyone starting with multiple contracts. But when you have lower premiums, you can stack them and you can compound those deltas. And we'll talk about that. But these are better for short term. They're better for the seller, right? Because you have higher thetas over here. They can work for long term, but it depends on the market conditions, right? So if you look back at like 2020, for example, I just use this as an example because 2020 was such a conundrum to me. So back in 2020, after COVID, right, we had this crazy rip. And you could literally buy out of the money contracts and swing them and swing them and swing them because the market was going straight up in the air, right? So now it's not so straight up in the air, right? We have chop, we have sideways price action. Certain stocks you can get away with this on, but it's not like the entire market, right? It's heavily tech. So just keep that in mind, but you can go out of the money if the conditions call for that. Where was I? Oh yeah, high theta benefits the sellers. Out of the money has lower delta. So over here you can see the delta. This is really out of the money, but you have like a $9 delta and an $11 theta. So this is a little higher. Over here it's a little higher too. And these typically have a lower IV. So the further out of the money, the lower the premium. So let's talk about compounding delta. This is an Apple example. Okay, so this is a $500 position, or sorry, $500 account or budget. And we've got four different strikes. So this is going to be the first one that's in the money. You guys see we have $500 to spare. So this can get us one in the money contract for $473. Our delta is 83 cents. So we're going to make $83 every time Apple goes up a dollar. Over here, this is a little further up. Let's see, this one's going to be right at the money, I believe. So over here, you're getting two contracts within our budget, $366 entry cost. And then down below, our delta is 53 cents. So we're making $106 every time Apple goes up a dollar. Over here, we can get five of these out of the money contracts within our budget. So that's $470. Our delta is 34 cents. And so five contracts times 34 cents, we're making $170 every time Apple goes up a dollar. And then over here, we can get 12 of these out of the money contracts in our budget for $492. Our delta is 18 cents. And here we're making $216 every time Apple goes up. So we're really working with the same budget and we're taking four different positions and they're all profitable, but some are more profitable than others, right? And so this is one of the things that I tell my analyzers. It's really not a huge deal when you're getting into these positions where you're at on the chain. Like you want to be within reason, but if the move is there and there's momentum, you can be profitable on multiple spots on the options chain, right? So it's more important to make something than to try to make everything. But I love to break these down so people can kind of see the possibilities. Is the risk different? If you are, because I'm predominantly a scalper, right? So I'm not in there very long. So my average trade time last I checked was like 7 minutes. And so for me, the theta, that's really what gets a lot of people, right? You catch a move, you don't get out in time or it reverses. That's where theta comes into play because the time decay out of the money is so high. But if you're just in there for a short period of time, you're not worried about time decay, right? You're just there for the momentum. But yeah, the risk is definitely different depending on how long you're holding and what you're trading. Absolutely. But we don't trade without stop losses either. So keep that in mind as well. If you're wrong, it's not the end of the world. I love a tight stop loss. Let's do another one. So this is going to be $1,000 budget. And this is for the Qs, right? QQQ, that is an ETF that tracks the NASDAQ. And how am I on time? Okay, good. We'll do this and then we'll wrap up. So the first one is the 305 Qs. For $1,000, we can only buy one contract, right? It's 551 to go in the money. Delta 73. So here, $73 every time the Qs go up a dollar. The next one, this 309, based on this delta, right? The 0.52, this is right at the money. So we can get three of these, three contracts within our budget. Our entry cost is 813. Our delta is 52. So that times three, we're making 156 every time the Qs go up a dollar. So over here, this is further out. We can get five contracts in our budget, 39 cents on the delta times five. We're making 195 bucks every time the Qs go up a dollar. And then over here, last but not least, this is the furthest out of the money. This is 314 strike. Our delta is 21 cents, so $21. We can get 14 contracts. So over here, we're making $294 every time the Qs go up $1, which is not a bad place to be. I think I got a little crazy with these. I did this example and I don't really like it because in this sense, BAC has a low ATR. So I would never be like, you know, get comfortable going so far out of the money. So I'm just going to skip that. We did Exxon as well. Exxon was actually ripping when we did this one. But you guys get the point, right? You go out of the money, you want to buy multiple contracts. When you're comfortable, and also do this with a stop loss. I'm really big on responsible trading. And the worst thing you can do is go out and buy a whole bunch of contracts and get clapped because that's your account, right? Don't do that. Please don't do that. Not financial advice, just from one friend to another. So the last thing that I like to do in this session is analyze options, like different options on the chain. So you guys can see like real life, you know, situations. And so these are some of the culprits of the worst options chains I've ever seen in my life. Just because a stock has options doesn't mean they're a good idea. And so I had to learn that the hard way, but let's look at Chipotle, right? Look at the spread. The spread on Chipotle is trash. It's like literally $140 difference. Down here, look at this theta, $277 in theta. Your delta is 43 cents. This is horrible, right? If you see this, you should run. Next, another culprit of terrible options, Boston Beer, super wide spread. It's just not worth it. Like it's not worth it, right? This is like 200 bucks. you're not getting in and out of this with all your money, chances are. And then even the limit order, like there's no liquidity here. It's not worth it. AutoZone, trash. This is like what, almost $500 spread. This Theta is uncanny, $351. The Delta doesn't even put a dent in the Theta. So no to AutoZone. Apple, this one's beautiful, really nice spread. You've got open interest, you've got volume. One thing about this is this Delta Theta. These are so close together. I'd probably maybe go in just one more strike here, right? Just so these aren't identical. You don't want them to be kind of on top of each other. And then Tesla, right? Tesla tends to have a little bit wider of a spread. It's not crazy. Like this is $10, but they usually will have a little wider of a spread. But this doesn't look crazy. Tesla, another thing, tends to have higher theta as well. So keep that in mind. But again, depending on the type of trading you're doing, this isn't the worst thing if you're just a short-term trader. If you're going to hold something, you definitely want a bad time to get that theta down, make it reasonable. But I think that's all. Here's a couple more examples, but that's really all I had. I don't want to run over time. Does anyone have any questions? I hope this was helpful. I feel like we covered a lot. Awesome.
Yeah, we have a few minutes left if anyone has any questions.
This was fun. But yeah, the biggest thing is just make a plan. Like make a plan so you're not like, you know, it's really easy to just get in the market and start doing things and pushing buttons, but you always want to have a plan. Everything should have a reason. Oh yeah, David, my mom loves the YouTube channel.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. All the past events are there.
Yeah. She like binge watches them.
Oh yeah. I'm next month, it'll be 9 years since my first timing research event.
That is awesome. What is the optimum beta and theta? I'm thinking you mean Delta, but it really depends on what you're trading. Every stock kind of has its own personality, but you just want to make sure, like if your Delta is lower than your Theta, just don't plan on holding your position super long. But there's really no optimum. Yeah, you're fine. But there's really no optimum. Like I said, it just depends on what you're doing as a trade. Like if you're doing short-term trades, you know, you can get away with a low delta, you can get away with a high delta. Theta is the kicker, right? Theta is the kicker. So just look at that relationship, the delta and theta relationship, and see, you know, what you can do with that contract essentially. But I do like my delta to be a little higher than my theta for swings for sure. Mm-hmm. I think I said that 0.3 or higher for overnights. That's for your overnights. For what we do, like the scalping, we can get away with a lower delta, but that's because we're not holding it. We're not going to hold very long. More examples. Oh, here's some more examples for you on the options. And like I said, just check out the bid and ask spread. This is going to ensure that you're going to be able to easily get in and out with your money. Also volume and open interest. Like this is a crazy $500 spread. But yeah, I think another thing too is find your sweet spot. If you like to trade the same stocks over and over, just find your sweet spot on the options chain because you already know how they move. You already know how they react to catalysts. So, you know, maybe you like to go two strikes out of the money, or maybe you like to go three strikes out of the money, or one strike in the money, whatever that is for the stock you like, just find your sweet spot and hammer that spot all the time. It makes life so much easier. How much volume? Volume is relative. How much volume should one look for? Yeah, volume is relative. And so high volume for one stock isn't necessarily high volume for all stocks. So if you look at something like Apple, Apple is heavily traded. And so a low volume day for Apple could be, you know, a high volume day for Amazon. So they're all different. But what you want to make sure of is that there is some volume, right? Like, let's see, what was the other one? Over here, you see how this has like 48,000. Apple is a heavily traded stock as it is. So these are going to have more volume. But yeah, is there a way to find average? Yeah, if you look with, this is just on TradingView, but this is like this is a 10-day average. But you can see volume anywhere. You can see it on Yahoo Finance. You can really see it anywhere. But just notice this number in parentheses and it'll tell you how many days for that average in particular. I think FinViz maybe gives a 14-day. The problem with higher brokerage for options. I like E-Trade. I like Thinkorswim. Those are like my go-tos. Robinhood, I just don't want to say anything bad about Robinhood, but yeah, I don't want to say anything bad about them. Indicators, there's so many indicators. I think MACD is a good one. RSI is a good one. I'm a big price action trader, so I'm really big on like moving averages and candlesticks and volume. You got to have volume because we need momentum for sure. But yeah, brokerage fees are a real thing. I went into that. One thing, I don't know your name, but 426-640. One thing that helps with that is I trade less. I actually trade less now than I used to. And so I take larger positions and trade less. And that has helped with the brokerage fees, but they're insane. And sometimes you can actually call and renegotiate your fees with them too, depending on your brokerage. What moving averages, simple. I use both actually, simple and exponential. But yeah, you all, this was fun. Thanks for having me. But yeah, if you guys need anything, you want to hang out, I'm Elena. We're on Instagram at Investing Bay. Really, we're everywhere at Investing Bay. And yeah, this was a blast.